Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Better Merchant Podcast. I'm Hendrik.
And I'm Carmen, and today we are talking about a topic that absolutely fascinates me, the Viking axe.
Exactly, and I'll say it right up front, the axe was so much more than just a weapon. It was a tool, a status symbol, a cultural icon, all rolled into one.
That's what makes it so fascinating. We're talking about the Viking Age here, roughly 793 to 1066 AD. Nearly 300 years during which these Scandinavians really shook up Europe.
Shook up is right. Although, and many people forget this, the Vikings weren't just these wild warriors you see in films. They were
primarily traders and farmers. That's often forgotten. The warriors, those who actually went on regular raids, were probably far fewer than often portrayed. Most were primarily farmers, craftsmen, or traders.
And the rest practiced agriculture, raised livestock, traded. They had trade routes all the way to Byzantium.
Shipbuilding, smithing, textiles, all of it. Their society was, to put it simply, divided into three parts. Jarls, as nobility at the top, then the Karla, meaning free farmers and traders, and at the bottom, the Thralls, the unfree. In reality, of course, it was more complex.
And this is exactly where the axe becomes interesting. A sword, that was a prestige item. Expensive, labor-intensive to produce, required a lot of material and a really skilled smith.
Not everyone could afford that, right?
No, not by a long shot. The axe, on the other hand, especially the bearded axe, the skekøks, was, how should I put it, the Swiss army knife of the north. Inexpensive, easy to make, required less iron.
And the best part? You could chop wood with it in the morning, repair your house at noon, and go into battle in the evening.
More or less, yes.
Archaeological finds from Norway show axes appear in graves almost as often as swords and spears combined. In Nordfjord, for example, 42 to 50. That really shows how widespread they were.
Because they were affordable for everyone. The ordinary Karl, the free farmer, could afford an axe. A sword? That was a true prestige item, usually reserved for jarls or wealthy freemen.
And yet, axes were highly effective in battle. The broad axe, the bredøks, with its wide blade, that was a fearsome weapon. Some had this characteristic beard, that's what the lower extension of the blade is called, which could be used to hook and pull away shields.
Weapons had a dual significance in this era. Sure, for fighting, but also as status symbols. The more ornate your axe, the higher your rank.
Exactly. And when we talk about the Vikings, we as warriors,
then we also have to talk about those who weren't. The majority of Scandinavians lived peacefully. The fishermen on the coast, the farmers inland. They often only heard about the raids.
True. And even those who went on Viking, that's what they called these voyages, it was often seasonal. Out in summer, back to the farm in winter.
Pop culture has created a pretty distorted image. Always these horned helmets and bloodthirsty berserkers. But the reality was much more multifaceted.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what makes the Viking axe so fascinating. It represents this entire spectrum, from the farmer's tool to the jarl's ceremonial weapon, from forestry work to battle.
An object that reflects an entire culture. The smithing skills of the Vikings were truly impressive. When you look at how they made their axes, that was high tech for the time.
High tech in what way?
they combined different metals when forging. The axe body was usually made of softer wrought iron, but the cutting edge, that was made of steel. These materials were joined together through forge welding.
So essentially a composite material, hard steel where it's needed, tough iron core for stability.
And the result was an axe that stayed sharp but didn't break easily. The smiths back then only had anvil, hammer and tongs at their disposal. No modern tools. Yet they produced precision work.
The two most well-known axe types are the bearded axe and the Dane axe. They're quite different from each other.
The bearded axe, Skekaxe in Old Norse, has this characteristic shape. The blade extends downward, almost looking like a beard, hence the name. And this shape had a very practical...
That surely had a tactical advantage too, right? With that extended part, you could probably hook away shields or pull opponents closer.
And in everyday life, the same shape was perfect for woodworking. You could carve precisely with it, hew beams. The Vikings built their house with an axe and then defended it with the same tool.
One tool, one weapon. Multifunctional.
The head of such a bearded axe wasn't actually that large, by the way. The dimensions vary depending on the find. On Gotland, they found ones ranging from 11 by 8 to 18 by 12 centimeters. Compact, easy to handle.
The Dane axe is a completely different caliber. These were proper battlefield weapons with, well, with total length of 80 to 120 centimeters, with 120 being the upper end. The 180 centimeters you sometimes hear about is a modern exaggeration.
So, almost as tall as the person carrying it?
In some cases, yes. The blade alone could be over 20 centimeters long. On particularly large specimens, like the famous Mummen axe, even around 25. Yet such a piece only weighed 1 to 2 kilograms, because the shaft was made of tough, flexible ash wood.
That explains the enormous reach. With a weapon like that, you can get over any shield.
And that was exactly the point. The Dane axe was wielded two-handed, which of course means...
No shield for the wielder. That was risky.
Oh yes. Whoever wielded such an axe was either very brave or very skilled. Or both. The leverage from the long shaft made every hit devastating.
With the shafts, the smiths also thought things through, by the way. Depending on the region, local woods were used. Ash in the north, because it's flexible and absorbs shock.
And if you're interested in such details about smithing, please leave a like and subscribe to the channel. That helps us cover more topics like this.
Absolutely. Back to the decorations. They weren't just ornamental. The more elaborately an axe was decorated, the higher the status of its owner.
The ornaments were often etched or inlaid with silver and copper wire. Geometric patterns, animal figures, sometimes even...
You mean runes? They did have symbolic meaning, like protection or strength. Though on axe heads, they're actually not archaeologically documented. The real decorations were more likely silver inlays and engravings.
And these decorations also show the best axes weren't just forged, they were practically composed. Every detail had its place.
You can tell that the Norse smiths were true artists, not just craftsmen, but masters of their trade. The techniques were passed down from generation to generation.
What always fascinates me, this combination of pragmatism and aesthetics. A weapon that works and looks good.
That was just the Viking approach. If you're going to do something, do it right.
The axe was a real all-rounder in combat. Unlike the sword, which was primarily designed for cutting and thrusting, with the axe you could strike, chop, hook, pull away shields. Throwing was rather untypical for Scandinavians. That's more associated with the Franks and their Franziska, the classic throwing axe.
The Franks then? But With the heavy Viking axes, I imagine throwing would still be difficult.
The smaller hand axes, yes. They could theoretically be thrown at very short distances, a few meters before the clash. But for Scandinavians, that was situational at best, not standard practice. Precise throwing ranges are only known from the Franks, around 7 to 9 meters. The larger axes, like the Dane axe, were wielded two-handed.
And that meant, as we already mentioned, no shield for the wielder. That was a risk that was offset by the enormous reach and penetrating power. An axe like that could get over any shield rim.
The Vikings used their weapons situationally. The norm was axe or sword with shield. Larger weapons like the Dane axe or a spear were wielded two-handed without a shield, depending on the situation and personal preference.
There's that famous story about Stamford Bridge.
Ah yes, 1066, one of the most legendary stories ever. The battle took place on September 25th. The Norwegians under King Harald Hardrada against the Anglo-Saxons under Harald Godwinson. The Vikings were caught by surprise. Many weren't even wearing their armor.
And then that one warrior on the bridge?
Exactly. According to legend, a single Norwegian with his axe held the bridge over the river Derwent.
Defended it all by himself?
That's what the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle reports. The man supposedly held the bridge while his comrades formed up behind him. The English simply couldn't get past him.
How reliable is that actually? The chronicle is contemporary, but...
Good question. The core of the story, that one man held the bridge, appears in several sources. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle is relatively brief. A Norwegian blocked the bridge with an axe, killed several Englishmen. In the end, he was stabbed from below with a spear. Someone had rowed a boat under the bridge.
That's quite clever, if brutal.
The Norse sagas, the Heimskringla for example, they are, well, they speak of 40 killed Englishmen. But they were also written 150 years later. There's definitely some hero worship in there.
So the core is probably authentic, but the details are embellished. Typical for such accounts.
That's how I would interpret it, yes. A brave warrior who bought time for his men. That's historically plausible. The exact numbers? One should be cautious about those.
What about the berserkers? They're always portrayed as these raging warriors who smash everything to pieces with their axes.
The berserkers are an interesting case. They appear in Skaldic poetry from the 9th century onward as real warriors in royal retinues. The earliest mention describes bear and wolf warriors at the Battle of Hafrsfjord in 872.
So not purely fictional?
No, but also not an institutionalized warrior class, as sometimes thought today. They existed, they were feared, they served as a kind of elite troop. But this image of naked, rabid fighters biting their shields...
is exaggerated.
Probably yes. The later sagas dramatized it. What we know. They were banned in Norway around 1015. In Iceland in 1122. Presumably, they were too uncontrollable or no longer fit into Christian society.
Archaeologically, there's no evidence for a separate berserker class. No special graves, no definitive finds. They were probably individual warriors who distinguished themselves through exceptional battle fury.
The axe was certainly a preferred weapon for them. Heavy, powerful, psychologically intimidating. When someone comes at you with a Dane axe, that makes an impression.
History and legend often blur together with the Vikings. That's what makes it so fascinating, but also complicated. The axe was much more than a utilitarian object in Norse culture. It had a, how do you say it, an almost spiritual dimension.
Among other things, the Norse pantheon is full of weapons with meaning. Odin's spear Gungnir, Thor's hammer Mjölnir. Weapons weren't simply tools, they were symbols of divine power. And the axe stood for raw, primal force. In the Eddas and sagas, axes appear again and again. The Völsunga saga, the Grettis saga, everywhere named axes are mentioned. They had their own names, their own stories.
That already shows what status they held. You only name things that are important to you.
And this status was also reflected in social standing. A decorated axe was a statement. It showed, I am somebody.
With grave finds, you see this particularly clearly. The richest graves
contained the most elaborate axes. They were decorated with silver and gold, had complex patterns, animal ornaments.
The common farmers were buried with their working axes, plain, functional. But a jarl or a wealthy merchant? They got a ceremonial axe to take to the grave.
So there was this clear distinction, everyday axe and ceremonial axe. One for working, the other for representing.
Although some axes were both. Functional in daily life, but so beautifully crafted that they also displayed status. The line was fluid.
What exactly made an axe a status weapon?
Several things. The quality of the smithing, of course. Then the decorations. Silver inlays, engravings in the Mammen style or Ringerike style. Sometimes also the size. A particularly large Dane axe was automatically impressive.
Ah, so also a psychological element. Whoever shows up with a massive axe
makes an impression, yes. That was intentional. The Vikings understood self-presentation.
In the sagas, axes are often inherited, from father to son. That enhanced their symbolic value even more. An axe with history, steeped in blood and glory.
In the sagas, inherited weapons often bear their own names. Axes, just like swords. Such heirlooms held an almost magical significance for their owners.
The symbolism of the axe, strength, courage, assertiveness, that fit perfectly with the Viking self-image. They saw themselves as people who take their fate into their own hands.
The axe as a metaphor for self-reliance. You only need your own strength and the right tool.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
That also explains why the axe still fascinates us today. This symbolism is timeless. Strength, independence, the ability to shape your own life.
In modern reception, films, series, games, the Viking axe is always present. It represents this indomitable nature, this spirit.
Although the historical reality was of course more nuanced, but the symbolism has survived.
What I find remarkable, the same axe could split wood in the morning and serve as a status symbol at a thing in the evening. This duality of the practical and the symbolic, that's typical of Viking culture.
Nothing was just one thing or the other. Everything had layers of meaning.
The axe sums that up perfectly. Exactly what we said at the beginning. Tool, weapon, status symbol, spiritual object.
Archaeological finds are the key to truly understanding the history of the Viking axe. And there's one find that practically summarizes everything we've discussed so far.
You mean the Mammen axe?
Exactly. Discovered in 1868 in a burial mound near Mammen, close to Vibor on Jutland. The grave is dated to around 970-971 AD, so late Viking Age.
The find was spectacular because the grave was so richly furnished. There were textile remains, other artifacts, everything pointed to someone of high status.
The original is now in the National Museum in Copenhagen. And when you see it, the decorations are... it's hard to describe. The axe is completely covered with ornaments.
Silver inlays, right?
Silver, niello, that's this black metal alloy, and even gold leaf as inlays.
all damascened, meaning fine silver wires and pins inlaid into the surface. The motifs are in the so-called Mammen style, which was named after this very find. The style was defining for the period around 950-2030.
The motifs themselves are a mix of stylized animal depictions and plant ornaments. Tendrils, intertwined bodies, all symmetrically arranged. Some scholars see echoes of Yggdrasil, the world tree.
What makes the X so special is...
Wait, it was probably never used in combat, was it?
Correct. This was a ceremonial X, a prestige weapon. It displayed status and power, but it wasn't intended for use. The iron head is relatively small. The entire design practically screams, "Look at me, admire the craftsmanship."
That tells us a lot about the deceased. A wealthy man, probably a chieftain or someone from the warrior elite. We don't know his name. There were no inscriptions.
But the grave goods tell his story. Someone who could afford to have such an axe made and who was important enough to take it with him to the grave.
Are there comparable finds elsewhere?
Certainly. Decorated axes have been found throughout Scandinavia, also on the British Isles and along trade routes. But the quality of the Mammen axe is exceptional. It practically defines the standard for Viking Age metalwork.
What fascinates me, even with the simpler finds, you can still see the care taken. The Vikings didn't just produce axes, they...
You could almost say they composed them. Every detail had meaning.
Yes, exactly. And that's precisely what makes grave goods so valuable as a source. They show us what mattered to people, what they wanted to take with them to the afterlife.
For a warrior, his weapons. For a merchant, perhaps scales and weights. The axe in Mammen was both weapon and art object.
Archaeology has shown us that such ceremonial axes were actually quite rare. Most finds are simple working axes, functional, without decoration. That makes the Mammen axe all the more remarkable.
It's essentially the prime example of everything the Viking axe could be. Craftsmanship at the highest level, cultural statement, spiritual object.
And after more than 1,000 years in the ground, still readable. The silver inlays are preserved, the patterns recognizable. That speaks to the quality of the workmanship.
These smiths knew what they were doing. They worked for eternity, even if they might not have phrased it that way.
The Mammen find has shaped our understanding of the Viking Age like few other discoveries. It shows that behind the cliché of wild warriors stood a culture with extraordinary artistic sensibility. The Viking axe has a firm place in pop culture today. Series like Vikings or The Last Kingdom have shaped the image, these swinging warriors with their axes.
Although the portrayal is often exaggerated, these huge, heavy weapons being swung around, not quite historically accurate.
True, but they still convey the fascination. And interest in the history behind it has grown. I notice this in reenactment. More and more people want to know how it really was.
What's it like to hold a replica like that in your hands?
Surprisingly different than expected. The balance is different from modern axes. The weight sits further forward. You have to rethink. But that's exactly what makes it tangible. You suddenly understand why certain techniques made sense.
That physicality is important. History becomes real when you can touch it.
Reenactment groups worldwide work with replicas of Viking axes, from small craft clubs to large events with hundreds of participants. The range is enormous.
And the quality of replicas has improved. In the past, they were often simple decorative pieces. But today, there are smiths who work according to historical models.
With traditional techniques, forge welding, handwork at the anvil. Some even tried to smelt the ores themselves. That's truly experimental archaeology.
What fascinates me about this whole movement is...
surely the respect for the old craft.
Yes. People understand that behind every axe stood a smith who perfected his knowledge over years. This isn't mass production. This is artistry.
And that's exactly what makes the enduring fascination. The Viking axe represents a culture that, as we discussed earlier, combined pragmatism and aesthetics. A tool that could simultaneously be a work of art.
Oh, yes. Over 1,000 years later, we are still captivated by what these people created.
And as you said earlier, this symbolism is simply timeless. It stands for the power to shape one's own destiny, and that still resonates today.
It's more than just a weapon. It's a testament to the ingenuity of a remarkable culture, to craftsmanship at the highest level, to people who created something extraordinary with limited means.
And that's perhaps the most beautiful thing.
That we can preserve this heritage.
Through archaeology, through reenactment, through museums. And yes, also through high-quality replicas that keep the craft alive.
For everyone who's now eager to dive deeper into this topic, at bettonmerchant.com you'll find not only an extensive selection, but also the blog with many more fascinating articles about history.
That's it for today. We hope you enjoyed the journey through the world of the Viking axe.
Until next time.
Take care.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your sword sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.